may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if will, and open it up to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 38. And we're pretty much just going to stay right here in Genesis 38 tonight. I want to preach to you on the subject of running wrong. Running wrong. And the Bible talks about being in a race. We're to run in a race. The Bible said, "They which run, they run all, and every man runs to receive a prize." But you're not going to receive the prize if you're running wrong, okay? So I want to talk about that, and I believe it's easy to get pulled aside, and it's easy to wind up running wrong, okay? And so we'll kind of look at that tonight just for a little bit, and verse 1 is where we're going to begin, Genesis 38, verse 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua, and he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan." I want you to notice the key to what's going on here is those three words right there in verse 1, "at that time." At that time. You said, "Well, what time was it?" Well, if you back up and look at what happened in chapter 37. Chapter 37 is where the brothers of Joseph got together and said, "Let's sell him into slavery." At first they said, "Let's kill him." And somebody dissuaded them. Reuben came along, you know, and said, "Hey, don't do that. Cast him in his pit," you know. And, you know, he had plans to, verse 22 of chapter 37 says that he might rid them out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben had the right idea. But then you get to verse 26. "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" He said, "I got a better idea, fellas. Let's sell him. Let's sell him." And so it came to pass at that time. That's what we're looking at there in chapter 38. It came to pass at that time, the Bible said, Judah, notice, went down. Now, Judah was headed down already. Look, when you can come up with the idea of, hey, it's a good idea to sell your brother and make him a slave, I don't want to tell you, you're already headed wrong, okay? You're already pointing the wrong way. And then he kept on going. He went down, all right? He went down. And I said to you, it's easy to get running wrong. Say, what does it happen? I think oftentimes people wind up running wrong because they commit a sin. And that's exactly what Judah had done. He had participated in the sin of selling his brother into slavery. Here he is, he's in that mode, and he's... Now, I don't believe for a moment Judah said, big deal. I believe that weighed on him. I believe it weighed on all those brothers for a long, long time. And so here he is with that sin. Then the Bible said he went down. And he went from bad to worse, all right? He went from bad to worse. The Bible said he saw a woman, a certain Canaanite. Man, if anybody, a child of God and a part of the children of God, shouldn't have had nothing to do with is a Canaanite, all right? But here's Judah. He's already gone wrong. He's messed up, and now he just starts running wrong, all right? He just goes down. Now, so I want to talk to you a little bit about running wrong. When you're running wrong, you usually run from, okay? You're running from. Now, he was trying to run from his failure. He said, what do you mean his failure? Look, bud, if there's some, he should have stood up for his brother. He should have stood up for his brother. There were 11 of them involved, okay? Benjamin wasn't there, but there were 11 of them there. And so 10 of those brothers got together and said, there he is, let's get rid of him. And somebody else should have at least stood up and said, hey, wait a minute, fellas, that's the wrong thing to do. This is our brother. I mean, okay, you don't like him. All right, he's dreamed a dream. You don't like what he's telling about the dream. Fine. You don't care for his personality. You don't like it that dad gave him the coat. You don't like him that he's dad's favorite, fine. But wait a minute. How could he even talk about killing him? Somehow he should have stood up, so he's running from his failure to do that. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you the truth is you can't run from your failure. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never failed, stand up and tell us how you've done it, all right? Just stand up and tell us. Not me, boy. I've never failed at anything. Well, I have. I've committed some, bad failures along the line, Now, I never tried to kill my brother. I hit him in the head with a rock, but I wasn't trying to kill him, all right? Just wound him. I never tried to do that. But wait a minute. We failed. Every one of us at some point in life, we failed. Look, folks, you can't run from those failures. Now, I'm talking to you as a child of God, as a Christian. You're going to have some failures in your Christian life. It will happen. You can't run from them. Don't think the thing to do is run from them. That's what happened. I believe that's part of what's going on with Judah. Judah decided, I'm going to run from it. Well, anytime you run from a failure, what you're really doing is running from God. And really, that's what's going on. We run from God. We want to get away from him. I don't want to be in his side. I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to have to listen to him. And that's the reason sometimes it's hard to get people to come to church. They know the preacher's going to preach, whether it's me or somebody else. They know the preacher's going to preach, and that sin is going to be condemned, and they don't want to hear that, so they run from God. Run from God. Now, the truth is, obviously, what we ought to do when we sin, we ought to run to God. Or just run to him and say, Lord, I messed up. I blew it. But have you ever noticed how hard it is for us to do that? Just think about it in life. When you destroy something, maybe you break something accidentally that belongs to somebody else. I remember, I'm going to confess my sin tonight, all right? My son and I were watching a football game. This was years ago when we lived over on Netches, and I don't even remember who was playing. We were watching a football game on the couch, and we were excited. We were into the game, and I think our team scored, and I think I'm the one that did it. I go, yes, threw up my hands, and I forgot I was sitting under a shelf. And I hit that shelf, and there was a porcelain figure on that shelf. And shelves should have been built sturdier, okay? They just should have been, those wall decorations ought to be solidly anchored on the wall, all right? But they weren't, all right? And so we put that, I put that porcelain figure into orbit, all right? But it came down, and it chipped a little bit off of it. And I remember thinking, boy, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. That's my wife's decoration. It wasn't mine. I don't put that kind of stuff on the wall, all right? So you said, well, what'd you do? Well, when she came home, I said, hey, sweetheart, me and Lance, we were at home. We were watching the ball game, having a good old time, got a little excited, threw my hands up, and the beak on that bird got broke just a little bit, not much, and it wasn't much, it was a little thing. So I obviously admitted that. Now, how many of you believe that's what happened? Gee whiz, I don't know. Yeah, you know why you don't believe that happened that way? Because you're like me. You're like me. I didn't do that. So what'd you do? Well, we got all the pieces there. We got them all. We set them back up. I noticed the bird. I said, I'm going to turn him a little bit the other direction. And I don't know how long it was before she noticed, and she then said something about it. And I said, I have no idea how that happened. No, I admitted it then, all right? But I didn't come clean. I didn't just come forward and say, yep, we did it, all right? Why? Because the first tendency of every one of us is hide it. Run from it. Get away from it. Don't have to face it. Hey, but boy, when you're doing that in life and it's doing that between you and your God, you're running wrong. Don't run from God, okay? Don't run from him. Don't try to get away. I believe Judah, he was running from his failure. He knew he had failed. He's running from that failure. He runs from it. He runs away from God. And boy, everything just goes even worse, all right? I want you to notice who he ran with. All right, notice who he ran with. Now, he's mentioned in there in verse 1, he said he turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. Now drop down to verse 12, okay? Verse 12. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went in unto his sheep herders in Timnath. And he and his, notice, friend, Hira, the Adullamite. Hey, his friend. Look, when you run wrong, you'll always run with the wrong folks. When you run wrong, you'll always run with the wrong folks. When you're going wrong, you don't call up somebody at church and say, hey, let's, no. We don't do that. We run with the wrong folks. We get around. Now, if you know somebody at church that's disgruntled, out of sorts, maybe hadn't been lately, oh, you'll run to them. Because they're all right. They're not a threat, okay? We have that tendency. We run with the wrong folks. Hey, he had friendship with an unsaved man. He was an Adullamite, all right? He wasn't a child of God. He wasn't a son of the Lord. He wasn't a believer. He was an Adullamite, just a guy out there. He's got the wrong folks to run with. Hey, you need to be careful who your good friendships are, okay? You need to be careful. When you get to running wrong, what happens is you find out those friendships with godly people begin to deteriorate. And it's amazing how much fault we can then find with that godly individual. And you start, if you're not careful, you start hearing phrases like, they just think they're better. Well, they never did before. But we now think that. Why? Because we're running wrong. We're running wrong. Are you with me? Okay. We're running wrong. Got a wrong thing. Hey, when you run from God and you run with the wrong folks, you'll always find yourself running not just... you'll find yourself running with the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd. Boy, you know, we preach this kind of thing to teenagers. We preach to teenagers about running with the wrong people, you know, running with the wrong crowd. But we don't realize, hey, adults do the same thing. Adults do the same thing. You say, preacher, should I not be friendly with people? I think you'll be friendly with everybody. But being friendly with and friends with, two different things. Two different things. You can be friendly with anybody and should be friendly. But you need to be careful who you're friends with. I mean, who you really build a bond with. Be careful. Be careful. Man, we can get in so much trouble, but here's Judah. He's running away from God. And when you get away from him, you find yourself running with that wrong crowd. That's what he was doing now. He's running with that group. Now, wait a minute. Remember, all right, there's no mention in this chapter. A lot of years go by in this chapter. Judah has at least three sons. And you read, well, we didn't take time. I'm not going to take time to read all the chapter. Those sons grew up and got married. The Bible talked about the firstborn son did so wickedly, God killed him. Then you read a little further, and the second son, what he did, God killed him. So we're talking a lot of years gone by. But there's no mention here of Judah going back and any fellowship with his brothers or any fellowship with his dad still alive, all right? No mention of that kind of thing. Why? Well, he's running with the wrong crowd, all right? He's running with the wrong crowd. You get mixed in with that wrong crowd, make friendship with this world, and you get yourself set up for a whole lot of trouble. And that's exactly what happened to Judah. Now, we're not going to be here long tonight. I want you to see verse 15. Because you run from and you run with, then you run into something. You run into something. Look at verse 15, all right? When Judah saw her, now this is Tamar. Now, just to tell you the story, Tamar was his firstborn son's wife. All right? She was the wife. Now, they had in that day, and it was the plan of God, that if the son married and he died with no children, that the next son would marry that widow. All right? Would marry that widow. And if he died and had no children, then the next son. And that's what happened here. The third son was about to be able to step up and marry, all right? But wait a minute. You see at the end of verse 14, The Bible said, for she, that's Tamar, saw that Shelah, that's the third son, was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. All right? So here she is now. She dresses up like a harlot. Verse 15, when Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law, and she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? Now I said, if you run from, and you run from God, you run with the wrong crowd, you're going to run into. You say, what are you going to run into? Sin. You're going to run, die. That's exactly what Judah did. He dove right into sin. Vile sin. All right? Messing around with a harlot, or who he thought was a harlot. Eight, having relations with somebody that was not his wife. Folks, that was wrong then. By the way, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. We can dress it up, we can gloss it over, but it's still wrong. Invariably, when you get to running away from God and you're running with the wrong crowd, you always run into sin. Now, it may not be the sin he's involved in here, but you're going to run into sin. You mark it down. You're the child of God. God's not going to let you get away with that departure from him, and you thinking, I'll go my own way, do my own thing, and it's going to come out all right. No, you're going to run into sin. And by the way, you'll always go a lot deeper than you ever thought you would. You'll go deeper than you thought you would. We always have this crazy idea, I can control it. No, you can't. No, you can't. Sin always, it gets its grips in us, folks, and it'll take us down much, much further. And by the way, much faster than we had ever anticipated it could happen. And boy, we just need to, that's why we stand up, we cry against sin, that's why we warn against it, we point it out, we say don't stay away from, don't get in the path, and over again you say, you ought not to be so negative. Well, how do you positively say, I'm very positive, you ought not to mess with that, all right? Hey, you can't do it without getting into sin, and that's exactly what Judah did. Here he is, not realizing who he's talking to, but he thinks, I can get away with this, all right? Why? Well, he's been away from God. Now, remind you, he's been away from God for a while, all right? For a while. Remember, he's had three kids, at least. Two of them got old enough to marry. Because of their sin, God killed them. Now the third one's old enough to marry, but he doesn't give her to Tamar, all right, to be her husband and to have seed for that son. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. So we're talking a long time he's been away. You can go downhill a long ways, especially in a long time. In a long time. So he's ran with the wrong friends. He's not had anybody telling him, look, you ought to think about getting right with God. You ought to come back to him. You ought to go and repent. He'll forgive you. If you'll go to him, you'll repent. He'll forgive you. You need to go back to him. You need to go back to the Lord. You need to make things right with him. Nobody's telling him that. Usually friends, when you're away from God, they're encouraging you to do wrong. They're always standing by and say, yeah, go for it. Go for it. Sometimes they say, go for it, but let me get away. Because they don't figure it's going to come out too good. Hey, I'm just saying to you, you need to be careful, all right? So here he is. He's now run from, he's run with, and he's run into sin. But it gets worse. It gets worse. You drop down, if you will, to verse 24. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. All of a sudden, Judah decides, hey, we're to do things right. We're to punish that sin. Because not me, it's somebody else. He said, we need to jump on it. Verse 25, when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and bracelets and staff. And Judah acknowledged them and said, She hath been more righteous than I. What an understatement. Because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more. Hey, you'll run into sin, then you'll run into shame. Run into shame. What a mess. Think about that. How despicable. Here's a man that's now had relations with his daughter-in-law. She's now going to have his child. Why? Because of his sin. Because a long time back there, he didn't do what he should have done when he didn't stand up for his brother Joseph and say, hey, we don't need to do this. Hey, brothers, we're doing the wrong thing. He didn't do that. And I believe guilt wearing on him, he turned around and he went down. And he goes down and he sees a Canaanite woman. He gets together with her, has three children. Man, his life is spiraling downward, downward, downward. And it gets worse all the way, all right? And here he is now shamed publicly. He had to admit, I'm the guilty party. I'm the guilty party. I was ready to take and take Tamar and have her burnt, but the truth of the matter is it's me. It's me. It's me. What a shame. Look, you're going to run into shame. And I realize in this day and age, it takes a lot to shame people. Because we live in a day where people are proud of their sin. Proud of their sin and just carry on about it and say, hey, I'm not ashamed of what I've done, you know. I did it. Well, I tell you what, I'm ashamed when I sin. I'm ashamed when I sin. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not ashamed because somebody finds out. I'm ashamed because I've done it. I don't know how many times I've dealt with kids in school about some issue, and they've been found out, and they'd say, I'm sorry. And I said, well, just got one question. Are you sorry you did it, or are you sorry you got caught? Big difference. Hey, I'm ashamed, boy, when I sin. I'm ashamed of myself that I would let my Savior down, that I'd disappoint Him. And what a terrible thing to run into that shame. Could I give you a different view? Really and truly, everything that we've said is really an introduction for the last few minutes of the message, all right? Well, could I suggest to you that you change your run? That you change your run? Go into the Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Man, just change your run. Don't run wrong. Don't run wrong. Look, if you sin and you realize you've sinned, the thing to do is not run from that failure and run from God. Don't do that, all right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, just simple verse, all right? Simple verse, we've heard it multitudes of time. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Could I suggest let's not run from God, let's run for God. Let's just run for Him, all right? Here you are, you've got your life. You've got your life. Every one of us here, none of us here know how long a life we now have. Nobody knows. We sit here tonight, no way to analyze that. We do not know how much longer we have in this life and how much longer we have to run for the Lord. Can I just say to you, how about deciding I'm going to run my life for God? I'm just going to run for Him. I'm not going to run from Him. I'm going to run for Him. And the best way to start that is run to Him. Run to Him. If you sin, just run to Him. Lord, here I am. I messed up again. Now, I know it's embarrassing. I know it's embarrassing. Hey, it's disappointing to have to come back again and say, Lord, it's me again. I messed up again. But it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Just run to Him. Run. Well, I'm ashamed of myself. Good, you ought to be. That's a good sign, okay? It's not a bad sign if you're ashamed of your sin. That's a good thing. But run to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I'm guilty. I messed up. I have disappointed You, disappointed me. Lord, I want You to forgive me because I still want to run for You. I still want to run for You. And I want to do that and just make that decision. I'm going to do that. Hey, if you run for him, do you ever consider this? If you run for him, you can't run for him without running with him. You with me? You're going to run for him, you're going to run with him. Hey, he's the one that said, lo, I am with you always. He's the one that said, we are laborers, the Bible, it's his book that says, we're laborers together with God. We're laborers together with God. When you run for him, you're not running on your own, all right? It's not you out there against the world. I've got somebody with me. There's somebody helping me. There's somebody right alongside me. I'm not out there on my own, you know, hope you do a good job. If you stumble, I'll eventually get there and pick you up. No, he's there. I'm running with him. I'm not alone in this life. What a grand and glorious thought that is, that when you get in service for the Lord, you're serving with him. He's with you. He'll back you up. He'll hold you up. He'll sustain you. He'll get you over. He'll get you through. However you want to say it, he'll take care of you. Just run with that thought in mind. I'm running with him. Now, I said if you run wrong and you run from, you'll run with the wrong crowd and you'll run into something. Well, if you're running right, you're running for God and you're running with God, you're going to run into some things. Said, yeah, I know persecution. No. Blessings. The blessing of God. The blessing of God. You're going to run into some things. You know, I think oftentimes we overlook God's blessing. Overlook God's blessing. Wasn't it this past week somebody won that lottery that's a tad over $2 billion? Now, most people think, oh, what a blessing. No, not necessarily. And if we're not careful, we get the idea, well, why don't God bless me like that? Well, wait a minute. What has God blessed you with? You ran around the corner one day and bam, God put a blessing on you, all right? God just blessed you. It's oftentimes those little things that we overlook. God blessed us because, hey, something didn't happen that could have happened. Something didn't happen that could have happened. And I don't know about you, but I've almost hit somebody at a red light because they, not me, they ran the red light. But I think, what a blessing. God prevented that. God prevented that. He took care of me. He kept me from that happening. What a blessing. A blessing. Hey, when you're running for God and with God, you're going to run into some things. You're going to run into some blessings. God's going to bless you along the way. Man, just over and over and over, he pours out his blessings upon us and we enjoy them. That he daily, Paul said, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily loadeth us with benefits. I don't know if you consider it. I consider it a great blessing that I can sit down and pretty much eat anything I want to eat. And that to me is a blessing. All right? What a blessing. I know other people, they can't eat this. Well, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I'm glad I can eat pretty much whatever I want to eat. What a blessing. What a blessing. I mean, and it's just a blessing from God. All right? That able to sustain and go on and make do. All right? It was a blessing to me that I was able to get rid of those kidney stones this week. I didn't wind up in the hospital. I didn't wind up going through any kind of surgery. It was a blessing. Now, it was a painful trip, all right? But it was a blessing. It was a blessing. But oftentimes, we miss those things. We're running for God, and we're running with him, and sometimes we think, Lord, why has anything bad ever happened to me? I'm trying to do your will. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Sometimes those bad things turn out in the long run to be good things. Don't get decided that God's against you just because everything doesn't go your way. Talking with some folks this last week, and they were talking about family members that used to serve the Lord, but things went wrong in their life, and now they're out. They even discount the word of God. Why? Because they got bitter. bitter. Why? Because God didn't do what I thought he should have done. Wait a minute, he's God. He knows the end from the beginning. We don't know the beginning. We don't know the middle. We don't know the end. But I'm trusting the one that does know. I'm trusting him to just take care of those things, all right? Hey, you run for him, you run with him, you're going to run into some blessings. I'll tell you, one of these days you're going to run into heaven. You're going to run into heaven. That's not a bad thing. That's just not a bad thing, okay? It's coming. We have some troubles. We have some trials down here. But it's okay. We can run through them. Why? Because we're going to run into heaven one of these days. One of these days. And, man, so many songwriters have talked about it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Hey, I think heaven will make us forget what happened here real quick. Real quick. We'll forget all those little things we thought were so big when we get there. But that's the promise of God. He said, I've got a better place for you. On that, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You'll be there one day. What a great thing to know. I'm running for him. I'm running with him. One of these days, I'm going to run into heaven. I'm going to get there. And by the way, wouldn't it be better to go running than to go dragging? Wouldn't it be better to go running than to go dragging? Well, God drug me in. You know, sometimes kicking and screaming to keep from going, all right? Just resisting as long as we can. Oh, how much better to go running and saying, Lord, I'm excited. I'm going to keep running for you until you pick the day, and Lord, I'll run into heaven. That'll be fine. Won't be a problem. Won't be a problem. If you don't mind me using this illustration, I think of my mom. My mom, 91 years old. I don't know how many people have told me they came to the funeral, people that I know, and they said, man, I couldn't believe how many people were there. Because if you live that long, you outlive your friends. And so there's not too many that show up at the funeral. You say, why were there so many there? Because mom kept running. Mom kept running. Now, she didn't run from him. She kept running for him. And she just wanted to do something. Now, she didn't want the front place or anything like that. That day she died, she was getting ready to go visit somebody else. She was getting ready to go see Ms. McNabb. I don't know if I ever told you that, Ms. McNabb, but she's getting ready to come see you. Something happened to you, and she's going to check on you, you know. And she would do that. She was a regular at the nursing home, all right? Why? She just running. She was running. And I'll tell you what, she ran from here into heaven. Into heaven. What a wonderful way to go. What a wonderful way to go, all right? Hey, how are you running? How are you running tonight, okay? Just how are you running? Now, I'm not standing up here thinking, oh, so-and-so there, I hope you got this. I know you're running into sin, you're living a wicked. No, I don't know of anybody here that's doing that. If you are, you got it hidden from me. But if you do have it hidden from me, it's not hidden from God, okay? But I just ask you, how are you running, all right? Sometimes our running is sort of dragging. It's just a slow shuffle. All right? Don't let it be like that. Let's be running for God. Running for God. Lord, I just want to do something for you. Just use me a little bit, all right? Find something that you can do. And say, I'm going to keep running for the Lord. Just going to keep going and just keep serving him. And as long as I can live, keep it going, I'll keep going. Running for him. Why? Because I want to run into his blessings. I want to run into those blessings. I just want the blessing of God. And I want you to have that blessing of God. And one of these days, if I outlive you and I get the opportunity, I want to be able to preach you ran into heaven. Never forget one night, right over here, probably just about a row behind where Brother Chester's sitting. Brother Harold. Brother Harold was sitting on there, and he had his tennis shoes on. Had his tennis shoes on after church Sunday night. They were going. He had participated for years in the telethon for muscular dystrophy, and they were going. Brother Harold was running. He was always running, and boy, he was serving God too. All right, visiting the bus route, active. That night he ran to heaven. that night he ran to heaven. I believe he went to heaven from there. Now, they kept his body alive for a little bit longer. But I believe honestly with all my heart, I believed it from day one, he ran to heaven. What a good thing. It was a good thing to be able to stand in front of folks at that funeral and be able to talk about the faithfulness of Brother Harold. What a good thing. I just want to keep running. I don't want to run wrong. I can't tell you, I know how many preachers I've known that wind up running wrong. Man, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want you as a Christian to wind up running wrong. You said, how did it start? I believe it started with Judah when he sinned and he wouldn't stand up for his brother. I believe there was guilt on him. He went down from there and his life went downhill and he paid a tremendous price with his life. Sin and shame, but you don't have to do that. Hey, if you mess up, you fail, run to God. Run to God. I'm preaching this message to you for the future, all right? You mess up, you fail, don't run from God, run to him. Say, Lord, I did it, I admit it, please forgive me. Because don't want to wind up running wrong. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, would you just help us see the simple truth of the